flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
It's a weird story here, Omar. I was just reading. We had the national championship game last night. Ohio State beat Notre Dame. Dan Wolken, who covers college football, he tweeted this out, Omar, and he said, I think this is an interesting story because I know you cover locker rooms. I used to. I don't so much anymore, but he said, bizarre scenes from the Notre Dame locker room, players yelling at reporters, coaches warning people not to ask certain questions, amateur hour, he said. Now, the follow-up to this is that a guy who covers, this guy named Jack Sobel, who covers Notre Dame regularly, he said, a lot of emotions tonight. Players were distraught. Plenty of them were more than willing to talk to us. Those who wanted to did it with class. Let's have some empathy and give these kids some grace. And then he went on to say, as media, we have to have thicker skin than to complain about this stuff after these guys poured everything they had into a game like this. What do you, Omar, I am just letting you know that I'm opening you up here to a large amount of criticism, because I agree with the second guy. I mean, I know that these guys have expectations and all that stuff, but I also know that it's probably really difficult to do this 5 minutes after you just lost the biggest game of your life. So
yeah.
What say you, though, Omar? You cover these teams for a living. What do you think?
I think the toughest environment that I've ever been in was after the Fiesta Bowl that the University of Miami lost in the controversial Glenn Sharp pass interference call.
Yeah, just a little bit, yep.
Yeah, that was, and to watch players, I mean, I believe Derek Crudup had to finish that game because Ken Dorsey got hurt, and to watch players crying, grown men crying, I know they're not men, but they're men, to watch them crying and bawling. I remember, and I this will never ever leave my memory, Ken Dorsey balled up on a couch chair in a ball, just sobbing and crying, and his teammates consoling him. And think about how much work and effort and labor and stress and strain they put in to get to that moment. So no matter what these reporters saw, you have to have a certain level of compassion and understanding for what they had just gone through. And then there were a lot of coaches, I'm assuming, protecting them. I'm surprised and shocked that Notre Dame still lets athletes in the locker rooms.
I think that's a CFP thing from what I was reading. That's like that's kind of how that works. It's like a CFP thing. I guess my follow-up is, do you believe, I know what I believe, and I'll tell you that after, but do you believe that college athletes should be treated differently than, let's just keep it with football, than NFL athletes?
Yes, absolutely. No question about it. Even though they're getting paid now, I remember the years I covered college football. Those were probably the most enjoyable time of my life professionally, because I got to help young men mature, young boys mature into men. And I actually watched the process. Like, people don't understand, Frank Gore, I was with him and his mother the night that he decided that he was going to go pro. And I was convincing him, like, listen, you need to go, because he really wanted to stay. And he wanted to do it one more season with the University of Miami. And I was just like, Frank, because we were friends. We are friends. I was like, you can't chance this. This is, you know, this is the opportunity that you have to live your dream. And you've already suffered two knee injuries at University of Miami. And while you feel healthy now, you never know what's going to happen. You have to go.
Well, the funny thing is that conversation has changed a lot nowadays, right? I mean, now it's like, well, can you make more money in college for another year than you can as a pro?
Absolutely.
So that conversation has obviously changed. I am with you, though. I do think there needs to be separation. And I know, like, earlier people were calling them professionals, and I don't
agree
with that.
They're not professionals. No,
I really, really don't agree with that.
They're after being compensated. Yes.
These are college kids that are working jobs like any other college kid. They just happen to be getting paid more.
Yes.
Right?
No, no doubt about it.
Yeah, I look. If you're a professional athlete and you're going to take a check, like, what does Tyreek Hill make?
$30 million a season.
Okay. If you're going to make that kind of money, then you got to answer questions after you blow the Jets game and you storm off.
Sometimes they don't want to. Sometimes they don't want to. Yeah.
If you want to cash that level of check, Jimmy Butler.
I agree with you.
Hey, Jimmy Butler, you're making $50 million this year. What is it, 48, 49, whatever he's making. Yeah. You want to make $500,000 a game, which you don't even play all of them? You got to answer some questions, man. That comes with the territory. That's the bottom line. Now, for college kids, I think they just need to be handled differently. Because of the age,
The maturity level is a challenge, and even in
pros.
And I
don't know, here's the other thing. If you're a professional athlete, you have a team of people representing you, right? You have an agent, you probably have a marketing agent, you have a massive PR staff on these teams.
They're not there.
You have all these people around you.
That's not
fair. I don't know who college kids are surrounding themselves with and who they're getting all their information
from.
That's
true.
That's the other issue,
right? They have agents. They have marketers. They have the same thing.
They may.
They do have the same thing.
But do they have the same level of agent that, like, you know, a Tyreek has?
Drew Rosenhaus represents a ton of college athletes, just like he represents Tyreek.
I know he does. I know that from a marketing standpoint, like they do the marketing agent thing,
whatever. You know,
I just wonder. Again, I just wonder, like, are they getting the same level of information as the pro athletes?
But they're not. The pro athletes aren't getting the same level of information. I can tell you this personally. Like, pro athletes are not talking to their agents and their marketing people before I get in the locker room and talk to them and grill them. And a lot of times, you know, to be honest with you, like, a lot of times my best relationships are formed when I tell a player, when I advise a player on how he should handle this. This is the training that I've done for draft prospects throughout the years. How do you handle media? How do you talk to media? So they're not trained. Nobody, either amateur or professional, neither of them are really trained very well.
I'd love to have you go out there and maybe talk to Jimmy Butler, tell him what he should do. That'd probably go over real well. This guy says, talk about making yourself the story. Give me a break. You're a reporter. You're not an agent. Yeah, for the guy to even send that out, like we need to know that Notre Dame's locker room is bummed out after losing that game. Like, but here's the thing, man. I don't consider myself media. Like, you are media. Like, you do this stuff.
You can't
write
take it personal.
Really consider myself that. I think we're more of just like a talk show here. But
there are a lot of things that happen inside the Dolphins locker room this year that the media does not put out because we have a certain level of decorum and respect and working relationships.
Yeah, that's fine.
With these players. And so not everything is meant for public consumption.
But at the same time, you have a lot of these people that want the story to be about them. They want to insert themselves into the
story.
That is true.
That is
absolutely
true.
Like this guy, Dan Wolkin, who sent out this thing yesterday, who's complaining about, you know, that they won't give him what he wants in the locker room post game.
Mm-hmm. He has a right to, because everybody's supposed to be, you're supposed to have access to everybody, but then the coaches are trying to protect the kids, the programs are trying to protect the kids, and that's a very sensitive moment. That is a very sensitive moment. Probably I can't tell you a more sensitive moment in college athletics than you just losing the national championship game. Other than maybe you suffering a season-ending injury, do you want to go talk to the guy who got tore his ACL after the game, or Grant DuBose after he gets hospitalized? Do you need to absolutely get a comment from him? That's the type of reporter that I feel really uncomfortable with. Now, painting the picture is a lot different than making yourself the story.
Well, let me say this here. So a guy sends in, if a guy gets $4 million for an NIL deal, that's more than most people make in a 30-year career doing whatever they do. These guys aren't kids. They are paid athletes. Now, I want to backtrack on this and what we said earlier in the show. I do agree that there are some of these guys that are kind of on the way top of the mountain, right?
Yeah.
The quarterbacks that have been, I mean, Carson Beck has been around.
I'm sorry, right? Carson Beck is a pro.
Yeah, he's been there.
He
done
shall
that.
Be treated
they,
like
they
a pro.
They handed him $4 million. Great.
Yeah.
Okay.
You set the new standard for players, but let's pimping also, out the system.
Look, that kind of paycheck, that money, that is not the norm.
It's not.
Okay, there's not a lot of 18, 19-year-old kids in college.
What do you think the average of what a college kid is making
now?
That's
a great question. I have no idea.
That should have been a question we asked Darren.
I don't know that anyone would even know that answer at this point.
But that's part of the problem.
I think it's different everywhere.
That's part of the problem. And
every school, I think, is different, so I don't know that you could even theoretically answer a question like that.
I remember hearing and paying attention to Jim Larranaga's retirement.
Mm-hmm.
And he's talking about how the system is messed up because literally you could be negotiating with a kid and he gives you a fake number and mm-hmm. you've got no way to verify
this
number.
Yeah, you're negotiating against yourself, yes.
You're negotiating against yourself. And that, you know, and I've heard Drew Rosenhaus on it. I mean, these are clear problems that we need to fix and address because, I'm sorry, the system is broken. This is the Wild Wild West and it's getting worse. It's not getting better. It's getting worse.
Completely agree.
It's not settling. It's just getting worse.
Completely agree with you. As like a texture says, for most, yeah, but some like Carson Beck are more savvy than most. Yeah, the guy's been around. Like, he could have gone to the NFL if he wanted to.
He would have took a pay cut.
Yeah, exactly. He could be a pro, though, is what I'm saying. Like, I think you just need to allow a little bit of compassion and grace maybe
to
these
kids.
The $4 million
I don't know. Maybe there's like a price threshold where I'm like, yeah, the pro is out the window. At $4 million, the pro is out the window. You are literally making more than NFL starters. You made $50,000. You're going to make $50,000 less than C.J. Stroud next year.
There's another text. If those guys play at FIU or St. Thomas University, they're college players. Ohio State and Notre Dame or not. I don't fully agree with that. I get that they have a bigger platform at those schools. I get that the expectations are more. I get that the money is more. But you shouldn't fault someone for going to the best program they want to go to. I just think, like, if you're that age, you need to allow these guys a little bit of wiggle room to you know, essentially become adults. I mean, how about, like, here's a good example. You remember they used to let guys in the NBA right out of high school. And I thought LeBron, like when LeBron came down here, that guy was a little rough around the edges, man. Like, he had trouble dealing with the media.
LeBron?
Yeah, LeBron was rough, if you recall.
No,
You didn't cover the team. I did while I was here. But he was going through a tough time, man. That first year that he was here, he went through a tough little stretch.
Really?
I will be honest with you. Yeah.
I did not know that.
LeBron was in a situation where, like, anything that he did, people would crush him. Anything he would say, people would crush him, and it took its toll on him.
It clearly took its toll on him.
And it wasn't until they finally won down here, and I think he finally started to be a little more comfortable in everything. But that was tough, man. That was a tough deal for that guy. But you know, when you go straight from high school to the NBA, and especially like LeBron did, LeBron, what was he, 14? He's got games on TV, on ESPN, 16.
Like,
you're playing, I mean, you're that guy, and you have those level of expectation. I don't know, man. I think that's really, really tough. Let's see here. More text coming in. I would, I would feel a lot more sorry for Coach Elf. My team's best player hadn't transferred to Miami. Not sure which player he's talking about there. Let's see, more coming in here. We are going to, someone asked about the Darren Heitner thing. We're going to replay that because it's essentially what we're talking about right now. And he gives you the facts. We're giving our opinions here about this situation. And, you know, our kids, are they kids or semi-pro athletes? Someone asked.
Semi-pro is a good term for it.
I don't know. I just like, I think.
It's the minor leagues.
I think people need to like look back at like what they were when they were 18, what they were when they were 19.
No. Yeah.
Like, could you handle what these guys were, that stage those guys were on last night?
You couldn't.
I mean, man, that's a big stage.
That's excompassion. You're making a very valid point.
That is a big stage those guys were on last night.
Yeah, and just because you have some money doesn't mean you can abuse someone or mistreat someone also.
Well said, Dan. Well, look, there's a lot of people that think you pay for a ticket, you get the, you know, carte blanche to do what you want out there, right?
I agree with you. There are people who will go to University of Miami game and boo.
Not just UM. That's any game.
That's any game. There are people that buy an NBA ticket.
They buy an NFL ticket. They think, hey,
professionals,
I'm a paying customer.
Professionals, you can boo.
You can boo.
Yeah.
I do think you need to treat people like people.
True.
And I think there are a lot of people that cross the line.
I want to know Jimmy Butler reception. Did you hear any boos?
No, there were no boos. There was one person, there was one girl I saw on Twitter who sent out a video and she's like, oh, Jimmy Butler greeted by boos. And the only person booing was the girl holding the phone. No one booed. Like, there were like 10 people in the arena that booed. Not to mention no one was there when they were doing the introductions. It was a late arriving crowd.
Yes. Come on. It's a Friday night in Miami. Come on. They're going to show up by the second quarter.
All right. We got to take a break. We've enjoyed the conversation today. If anything, you know, just opinions and that's it. No need to get all bent out of shape. It is a gloomy Tuesday morning here. In South Florida.
The weather's impacted everybody's mood.
I know.
So it's a new year, 2025. And you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Omar, someone said, I guess on Pittsburgh radio, Dave Hyde said the Steelers have continuity. Apparently, they want Tomlin out over there. That's what most callers
are
saying.
Steelers fans are always crazy.
What's his record? Doesn't he have some like record?
He's the
where
only
he, like,
coach that never had a losing record in the NFL.
Man, oh man.
Yeah,
that's pretty good.
People are going to be lined up, including the Dolphins, if Mike Tomlin's available.
Well, the Dolphins would not be lined up. The Dolphins have a coach.
It's never stopped them before. Remember Harbaugh?
I suppose, but I'm guessing that the Dolphins would not
everybody
engage
would instantly
another coach
not,
at this
everybody
moment,
would instantly not have a. They're not getting rid of Harbaugh. I mean, Tomlin probably.
But he follows up. He says the Steelers have the same issues as our Finns, striving for mediocrity. But like Steeler mediocrity is a lot different.
People don't realize how different it is to go from playoff team to title contender. There's a different threshold, and even the Lions showed you that they aren't there yet. I don't even think the Commanders are there yet. I think it's going to be Eagles and Chiefs. I think you're going to watch the Chiefs dismantle Buffalo and say to yourself, man, Buffalo's just not ready yet. There's only one guy, one
so
team.
Taking the Chiefs is what you're telling me.
Yeah, I'm taking the Chiefs. Absolutely. I think the NFL is
I think I'm
wink,
done betting
wink.
Against. I will never bet against Patrick Mahomes in these games, man.
Yeah,
I don't know how many times people need to learn their lesson. And I really did. I felt like it was the Bills' year. It really did.
Yeah,
and it may still be. They could go in there and get a win. It's not the craziest thing in the world.
Say, it's not over yet.
It's not
even
over.
Started,
but. I really do believe the
Kansas
Chiefs
City's
have a
rested
lot working
and locked
in their favor,
in.
Man.
Kansas City's rested and locked in, and as I've constantly told you on this show, the NFL needs that dynasty. That dynasty is money.
I know. I don't believe that the games are fixed. I swear. Never believe that.
I didn't say they were fixed.
But look, yes. Do stars get
they're
calls?
Going
yeah.
to, they're going to get, stars get every calls. Questionable yes. call as a franchise.
So it says CJ almost pulled it off. Everyone almost pulls it off against KC. Yeah,
the whole season.
Yep.
whole season, everybody almost pulls it off.
And in the playoffs, too. Every playoff game the Chiefs have ever been involved in, I feel like, since Mahomes has been there, it's like they almost did it. Hell, in the Super Bowl, the two wins against the 49ers.
They were trailing in the fourth quarter.
Almost got them.
Yeah.
And the last Super Bowl against the 49ers, the guy's wide open in the end zone. Wide open. Oh, they're so close. If the guy doesn't get the pass rush, or is it Chris Jones, right? If he doesn't get that pass rush in there, he's a split second later. They find that guy wide open in the end zone, and the Chiefs lose that game. But again, it's just like it always bounces for them.
It does.
I'm not willing to bet against it anymore.
No, you shouldn't.
I think Josh Allen is a special player. I really do. But I don't know.
Josh Allen's a special player, but Patrick Mahomes is probably going to compete for the greatest of all time.
Yeah, and he hasn't even been that great this year. He's fallen off to an extent.
Their stars.
Funny thing is, Kelce starts to show up, right? Kelce has his 100-yard game in the playoffs.
He's rested.
He's back. Kelce's like the Jimmy Butler of the NFL. He only tries in the playoffs.
The starters hadn't played for 3 weeks. 3 weeks.
I know.
That's incredible. Think about how rejuvenative that would make your body in the NFL.
I'd love to get 3 weeks off.
Yeah, really you'd nice. Come back with all kinds of sports takes.
Oh, I know. I'd have sports buildup.